farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that those seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. And so the Lord is here speaking to disciples and many that have come from different towns to come and hear his words. He was already moving around Galilee, and there were people that had obviously heard about him and heard that he's moving around, and maybe they waited for when he would come to their town. And then there was other people that didn't move with him as he moved from town to town, that listened to some of his messages, and they would be going away from him. And then there were still others that were coming to him from different towns. And so you can see there as well an example of the response. We're talking about this morning our response to the word of God. But you see some people wanting to hear, others not as interested, others having felt they've heard enough and moving away. There was a movement, a throng of people always around Jesus, some coming, some going. Who are we? Are we excited about the word of God? Pastor Anton, he likes to say that he wants to be there where the word of God is ministered. He wants to be there. He doesn't want to miss that. Also speaking about, you know, what we do as a church and where the word gets ministered, be it in our Bible schools or services or small groups or discipleship series, that where God's word is ministered, you want to be there. And so we see there's people that wanted to be where God's word was preached, and they would come even from far away. I'm always blessed when I hear about people that would travel hundreds of kilometers to attend a church service. We've got such members that are part of our series congregation, farmers out in the Kouaboka veld that would travel over 100 kilometers every Sunday to bring their family to church. We're quite spoiled here in Franschhoek. You don't have to go 5 minutes to get anywhere in Franschhoek. And church is right here on your doorstep, on my doorstep anyway. So I tend not to miss church. But there's a desire in the heart of many people to want to be where the word of God is. And Jesus is speaking a parable here that the people around would understand. Obviously, the disciples got to move with Jesus, the 12 chosen, over the course of his three-year ministry, and would receive a lot from the Lord. And even there were still some things that were uncertain or unclear for them right at the end, despite the fact that Jesus told them before entering Jerusalem that he would rise from the dead. They still went back to their fishing boats after he was buried. And so, you know, not everything always sank in, but they got to spend a lot of time with him, whereas other people didn't get to spend as much time. And Jesus spoke to people in a way that they would understand and get the maximum out of that. And obviously, the words of God, it's not just plain word. It's not just a speech like any other speech when the word of God gets spoken. There's something divine about it. There's something powerful about it that goes beyond just mere words, even as the Bible is not just ink on paper. Something supernatural about it. And so, how much more so when Jesus himself is speaking the word. And so, he will conceal for a time, so to speak, the truth of a principle of God's kingdom in a parable, in a story, an analogy that the people would understand, that they would go home with. And I believe that no one would forget any of these parables that Jesus spoke to them, but they might not all immediately understand. But Jesus is teaching his disciples here about different kinds of people, different heart conditions, different responses to the word. There's no problem with the word of God, which is likened to the seed in this parable. The seed is good. The word of God is always good. The Bible on your dressing table, nothing wrong with this, has the power to change your life completely. The way of salvation is right here. This is the manual that if you adhere to it, will get you to the finish line, will get you into heaven. I think we all agree we all want to be there one day. So you've got it. We've got no excuse. You've received good seed. For the most part, it's up to you to grow that seed in your life. So they found themselves at the time of Jesus in Palestine was an agrarian culture, cultivating, working the land. And he describes this picture. And there would be a Palestinian man with a bag slung around his shoulder with a lot of seed. And he'd be walking in his lands that had been prepared and he'd be throwing the seed. But then the Lord is saying that there's four basic soil types that the seed might fall on. It's not to say that it's 25% each or necessarily one in four, but four basic soil types, and the one would be the hard path where people and animals would walk, and some of the seed might fall on that path. Some of our hearts at some times and some hearts of some people might resemble that path in terms of their capacity to respond to the word. It'd be hard. We must also understand, as Jesus speaks about this, the path that when the word of God is ministered, we have an enemy that is not in favor of that. The enemy is immediately activated and on high alert when the word of God is getting ministered because he doesn't want people to get saved. The enemy is a master at deceiving. He's a master at hindering and distracting, making a noise. When Johnny spoke last Sunday evening about the vultures that want to come in and steal, the vultures that need to be chased away like Abraham chased them away from the sacrifice that he had prepared. Because they just want to come and steal before the Lord comes to do his work. And so the enemy wants to come and steal the word of God out of your heart before you believe it. Before that word can have effect in your life and bring forth salvation. Enemy wants to steal that word. And this, that the Lord is speaking about response and receptiveness to the word of God, is not at a specific time. It's over a lifetime of exposure to the word. Remember, salvation is also a process. Our hearts, which we obviously want to be good soil, might have been good soil a year ago. Today, it might be a lot more rocky. And so what you have received and believed can only take you so far. And the Lord is still wanting to minister to you, but you might be starting to lose that, reject that, or not believe that. See, the Word of God has to be mixed with faith for it to profit you at all. Uncle Angus likes to say, it is written, I believe it, that settles it. Do you believe the word? So there's a battle that ensues in the spiritual realm when the word of God is ministered. And the enemy wants to steal that word. He wants to steal your faith in that word. He wants you to forget that word. Hey, he'll try and hinder you from even hearing that word. The vultures, the cell phone that rings while the word is getting read or preached, or the baby that cries. All of these things can be distractions that hinder you from receiving the word and believing the word. Most of your time with the word will be your private time. So make sure that you take the necessary steps to ensure that that private time with the Word of God is quality time. You put the cell phone off. You isolate yourself. You take yourself aside for a time to spend focused on the Word. That's also what we're doing the next 3 days. Yes, I agree with Fiona. There's a lot of prayer points there. We see how far we get. But let's press in the next 3 days. We are setting ourselves apart corporately as part of the Shofar movement to ask God what's on His heart for us now and to ask Him to help unite us behind the vision that He has for us as a church globally and also here in the valley. Fasting and praying for 3 days is by no means wasted time. It's very powerful. It's tough as well, which is why we don't expect everyone to do that every week. But twice a year, we get together in that way. I want to encourage you. Maybe fasting is a very daunting prospect and you haven't done that before. Then I want to encourage you, even if you fast partially, skip one of your meals in the day, or you know, take a quarter of the plate of food that you normally would, or skip meats or coffee, something. Just do something, sacrifice something in the area of your diet with the purpose of focusing on God. The emphasis is not away from food, it is towards God. And take that time, that extra time that you have, because food takes up a lot of our lives, take that extra time and spend it praying about this church and about God's plans. That's all we want. And Wednesday evening, we're coming together here at 7 o'clock. Bring something with to eat and share. We're first going to spend some time worshiping, and then we're going to break the fast together. It's always been really amazing, so don't miss out. Everyone's invited. So the seed that falls along the wayside on the path, we can agree, we understand that, we understand the dynamics there and the reason why the Lord told the listeners about that, and we don't want that to happen to us. It also speaks about a contempt for the Word of God. Word seed falling on the path where people and animals would trample on that word. People not respecting the word of God. People dishonoring God's word. People blaspheming. Let that not be amongst us. Then you find the seed that's fallen on the rocky soil. This was also a common, well, I suppose it's everywhere, but there in Palestine as well, where you would find some decent soil, but that was very shallow with a very rocky layer just underneath. And the seeds would take, they would start sprouting, but their roots wouldn't be able to go deep enough through the rocky layer. They would draw some moisture from that rocky layer, and so it would spring up quite quickly. But then they would get scorched from the sun, and because they had no root that could go deeper and get more moisture, then ultimately those plants would die. And that Jesus likens there, as we read, to people who would receive the word with joy. There'd be the initial good response, but there's no depth there. There's no root within themselves at the first sign of persecution, resistance, opposition. Hey, if you follow Jesus today, you don't choose that to win a popularity contest. I think we see it quite clearly, even in the U.S., you know, that there's a lot of opposition to God's ways and His Word and His principles. It's not the popular thing to do. Where the U.S. kind of started out on foundation of God's Word, there's a clear division at the moment. And so that you'll find more and more. There's no sort of middle ground. There's not really that place anymore where people don't really care or whatever. People are either for God's kingdom or they against it. And so you don't choose to follow Jesus to win a popularity contest. There will be some form of persecution, maybe not in your family, hopefully not, but might very well be if you're working in corporate or in a secular environment, most likely there'd be some smirking or some chirping or something. I've experienced that after getting saved and working in hotel and in an office in London. Just simply being made fun of, and I was a Christian for less than 3 months at that time. It's just God's grace, because the root wasn't very deep yet in those terms. Though the way God saved me, I think it did create quite a few cracks in that subterraneous rock layer so that the roots could eventually go through that. But, you know, there were tough times. You know, they wanted to parade me around the office with a dog collar on and stuff like that, you know, saying, ooh, you know, you're so holy and all of these things. And it wasn't a case of me trying to lord it over anyone. But, you know, and there'd be office parties, as many of you probably also exposed to these kind of environments. And you've got to take a stand. You know, people try and thrust drinks in your hands and you say, no, sorry, you know, that's not what I'm here for. And you get some ridicule. Now, a lot of people fall away at that point. We need to make sure if we find ourselves in a situation, you know, if we are quite new in the faith, we need to persevere. We need to go beyond the persecution, beyond the trials. We need to remember, we need to look ahead. If you were in an aeroplane, a very powerful picture that I saw through the Way of the Master ministry, very blessed ministry, and they had this picture of a guy on an aeroplane. Let's say it's a light aircraft. Uncle Steve will know, you know, they aren't always that easy to fly, and maybe if there's, you know, tricky weather conditions. When you want to, the trickier the weather, the bigger the plane you want to be in, I reckon. In a small plane, you're going to feel a lot of turbulence, and it's a lot easier, obviously, for gusts of wind to play havoc with where you want to end up going. And so this guy is in a smallish aircraft, and the air hostess comes up to him and offers him a parachute. Offers everyone in the plane a parachute. Say there's 20 guys there. And they take the parachutes. The flight is about a couple of hours long. And after about half an hour or so, I mean, you're sitting there with a parachute strapped on your back, you know, and you're trying to eat your little tasty meal, frozen fish head. And it's not working, so you take that parachute off and you throw it down to the ground because it's rather uncomfortable. But what happens then? Plane runs into difficulty, can't get your parachute on in time, and it's overs cadovers. However, if the air hostess came up to you and told you, this plane is going to crash, okay? Here's a parachute, you want it. You'll sit with that parachute on your back, strapped in your seat, you'll sit and you're not going to feel the discomfort of the parachute on your back. You're not going to care that it's tricky to eat your food with a parachute on your back because you know the plane's going down, and you know if the plane goes down and you don't have the parachute with you and you can't jump to safety, that's going to be the end. You see, for those that have the rocky soil, if they could only think past the persecution and realize that this plane is going down, Jesus is coming back, or I am going to die, whichever one comes first, and I'm going to need to have that parachute on when that time comes. Then I'll be able to get past that persecution, move on to good soil, break through that rocky layer. Now the third soil type that Jesus speaks about is the seed that was sown where there are also weeds in between. And as the seedling grows up, the weeds choke it and steal the nutrients and the moisture. And apparently it's not just here. In Palestine, there's also weeds that grow 6 feet high. And so there's a situation where, as Jesus says, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and pleasures start to choke out that word of God in your life. And that's maybe a slightly longer process than with the rocky soil. And this is something that as Christians, many of us have been Christians for a number of years, and we have to remain vigilant about this. Because the deceitfulness of riches, in other translations, the deceitfulness of riches is deceptive. You don't see it coming. It sneaks in. It can creep in. We mustn't think we're above and beyond that. Money is something that everybody can do with. And we need to be careful about the state of our hearts, where our security lies. Money in itself is not bad. Hey, the church needs money. But it's the love of money. It is the desire for it. It's the placing of trust and security on finance, not on the Lord. The deceitfulness of riches. It is difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom because oftentimes he doesn't think he needs anything. He doesn't register a need even for salvation because he's coping, he's doing quite well by himself. Unfortunately, his money cannot save him. As the Egyptian grave robbers also found out, your treasures cannot go with you. But the word of God is a treasure. The word of God wants to sprout, wants to grow up, wants to bring us into the fullness of Christ and into maturity. I love how my wife reads Bible stories to the kids and says, now, here's a verse. This is a memory verse for us. This is a treasure that we want to bury in our hearts. The idea there that it doesn't get lost, it stays there. But to value that, the word of God is only as powerful in your life as what it is precious to you. The word of God is only as powerful in your life as what it is precious to you. Do you value the word of God? Is the word of God a treasure to you? Do you bury it in your heart? Is it there? Can you regurgitate it? Can you recite it? Do you know the word of God? Do you remember it? Is it there for you when you need it? Because the answer to all of life's problems is in here. In any situation, God has an answer for you. And if you know the word, the answer will come to you in that time. And there's wisdom locked up in here that goes far beyond any human wisdom. We need the Word of God. May it be a treasure to us. We need to be vigilant. The deceitfulness of riches and being anxious and worrying and being fearful about things that will steal from the faith in that word. And has the potential to render it null and void in your life. Fear is the opposite of faith. The word of God is only going to benefit you if you believe it. Then lastly, Jesus speaks about the good soil. The good soil. That is what we want to have. That's the condition that we want our hearts to represent. Good soil. Receptive and full of faith. That will yield a crop 100-fold. Most crops in that time would yield around 35-fold what was sown. So Jesus is giving us a big number here. Got to make room for faith. God's plans for you beyond anything you think or imagine. God's plans for you beyond human ability. 100-fold. Who wouldn't say yes to an investment that would yield 100 times? Now that can be the word of God in your life, can bring forth such fruit that you would never imagine. Transform your life completely, 100%. Good soil. God is the sower, His word is the seed, and that's all good and beyond question. The question is, which soil type are you this morning? To be good soil, you've got to be there where the seed gets sown. You cannot be good soil and sit locked up at home every day. That cannot be good soil because the word of God is getting preached all around and you're not there to receive the seed. And the word of God is clear and instructs us that we must be there where the word of God is preached. We must come together and not neglect the gathering of the saints. You cannot be good soil if you're sitting at home all the time. You cannot be good soil. Be there where the word of God is preached. Be receptive. Know that the enemy is going to try and distract you and hinder you and deceive you when the word of God is preached. So you come prepared when you go to small group, when you go to church, you come prepared. So, Lord, may my heart be good soil. I want to be receptive for your word and your truth. And let no lie penetrate my heart. We need to press in. We need to focus. So you want to be there. You want to be good soil. You want to be receptive. And then, Lord, help me to believe your word. Sometimes the truth hurts before it sets us free. Lord, help me to believe it. It is written there. It is written. Help me to believe it. It's outside of my paradigm. It's outside of my experiential knowledge. But Lord, it is written there. So I need to get my head in line with your word. I need to get my heart in line with your word. Help me, Lord. Help me to believe it. And then we've got to start growing. We've got to start doing. We've got to start applying the word of God in our lives. Faith without works is dead. It's not good enough only to listen and be a hearer of the word, but we have to be doers of the word. We have to be doers of the word. Say, doer of the word. Hallelujah. Welcome, children. Fortunately, that's all I have to say for this morning. Beautiful little vultures, especially that one. Okay. I want to pray for us this morning. And I want to leave us with that challenge. Because we have a lot to do with determining that pH of our soil, of our hearts. That we would remain vigilant, that we would remain watchful through prayer as well, that we would make sure that our hearts stay receptive to the Word of God. And the Lord warns us of clear and present danger when it comes to losing what He wants to give us. That we would not be caught ignorant of these things, but we'd be mindful of how the enemy works to try and steal from what God has given us. So we'd remain focused, and we'd be there where the Word is preached, that we'd come with receptive hearts, that we'd align our hearts and minds to believe the Word, and that we would apply the Word in our lives. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for this time this morning. Thank You that we could, Lord, celebrate what You're doing in people's lives, that we could pray for others, Lord, that are struggling, Father, knowing that You are in control. Lord, that we could worship You together, Father, sing Your praises and enter Your gates with thanksgiving. And Father, thank You, Lord, for Your Word, Lord, for Scripture. Lord, and Lord, we receive those words that Luke penned down. We receive it into our hearts this morning as inspired by You, Lord, by Your Spirit. And we know, Lord, that You have given those words, Lord, to bring about change in our lives, to help us to understand Your kingdom, and to help us to relate to You and to get to know You. We ask, Lord, that You will help us this morning and going forward to keep our hearts good soil for You, Lord. Help us to remain vigilant and not allow seeds to fall by the wayside or on rocky soil or amongst the thorns. Lord, we want to be good soil for Your Word. We want Your Word to yield 100-fold in our lives, Lord. I bless each one here in Jesus' name. I bless their hearts, Lord. I ask, Lord, that You'll keep us receptive to You, Lord. That You'll keep us expectant of a crop produced from Your Word in our lives. We declare, Lord, Your Word is living and powerful. And we ask, Lord, let Your Word find its rightful place in our hearts. And let it bring forth according to the purpose for which You have sent it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone has any prayer requests, please come forward. Otherwise, enjoy some fellowship and coffee. Tea is also allowed. And have a great day. Thank you.